Thanks, mate. Very happy to be here.
Yeah, it must be wonderful for you to be able to select to go to the Commonwealth Games, because last year you just missed out on Paralympics. And for people who don't know the story, you're visually impaired, so you qualify for that sort of thing. But it was so disappointing last year, and now it's all turned around for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it was a really hard year last year. I mean, in 2019, sort of a backstory, I missed out on the World Champs by about 0.3 of a second. And then, you know, that following 2 years was really rough. And then to finally qualify for the Games last year, but then to be told, you know, after sort of, you know, what had gone on those last few years, to make the qualifying time last year but still not be selected was a bit of heartbreak, really, yeah.
So you're mainly concentrating on freestyle, and you're at this stage competing in the 50 metres freestyle at Birmingham?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. So this will be the first time that they've actually got a vision-impaired classification at the Comm Games. So although the Comm Games is inclusive, so it's got the paras and the able bods, it doesn't have, you know, every race that would typically be at the Paralympics. So for me, I've still got the opportunity to do the 53, and it's good because it's a race that I've kind of always done, not really specialised in. So I suppose now, yeah, trying to specialise in it as best I can.
You went to Rio in 2016 for the Paralympics. What was that experience like?
Oh, amazing. You know, it's couple of the guys, I call them the older guys, the more experienced guys who are now some of my best mates. When I went to my first games, they were kind of, you know, that was their second, third, fourth games. And they always told me that it's kind of like a big theme park, you know, for athletes. You've got the, you know, the dining hall, that was my favourite. Then you've got the games room, you've got all the, you know, the big sky rises and everything that sort of makes up the village itself. And to sort of see, you know, everything that was part of the village, and then obviously you're there to compete and sort of all the bright lights and cameras. So, yeah, it was pretty cool and definitely the biggest spectacle that I've, you know, competed in, that's for sure.
And you touched on the fact that there's no Paralympic Games for the Commonwealth Games. It's all in one. So they have able-bodied athletes, or able-bods as you call them, and Paralympians competing in the same stage pretty much.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's going to be pretty cool. Like, it's pretty unique. From what I know anyway, it's the only swimming, you know, major international competition where they got both in one. So that's going to be pretty good. I mean, as a youngster, I competed able-bodied until the age of 18. And, I mean, the Olympics was certainly my aspiration. And, you know, going to the Paralympics as well is an amazing thing. And just knowing sort of who all these athletes are is pretty cool to be able to mingle with both sides of things. So it's going to be pretty cool, I reckon.
You mentioned when you were younger, of course, Devonport born and bred, and we still class you as a Tasmanian, even though you have to go to Queensland to get that coaching. We know Ari and Titmus did the same sort of thing, and look what happened with her. But going back to the early days, you would have been coached by the late, great Rex Hill, wouldn't you?
Absolutely, yeah. I was coached by Rex until about 14, so certainly have amazing memories of swimming in Devonport. And whenever I come home, I always love to be up at the pool, and it's still my favourite pool in the world. So yeah, certainly coached by Rex, and he was a great coach for me as a youngster. So very, yeah, sad to hear of his passing last year, but, you know, certainly remembered as a great coach, that's for sure.
An absolute legend in coastal swimming. How much of an influence did he actually have on your early career?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, swimming in Tassie in general, you know, it's not, I think, you know, most of my mates going through school were either into AFL or cricket or, you know, probably some of these other sports, not so much swimming. So, I mean, Rex created like a pretty amazing swimming culture around, you know, Devonport, which isn't typically known for swimming. So it's people like him and, you know, everyone else involved that makes, can make or break swimming in or a sport in a community. And it's people like him that, you know, really help to boost that culture in Devonport, that's for sure.
You touched earlier on the fact that you you qualified for the Tokyo Paralympics, but then even the qualifying time didn't necessarily guarantee you a spot in the team. So what have you done since then to get you to this point today where you're now off to Birmingham?
Yeah, I mean, last year was tough. They sort of had more athletes than they could take that actually hit the qualifying time. So that's kind of where that landed me last year. I was one of two that wasn't taken, that hit the time. So I suppose it was pretty hard. Like, I had a little bit of a break and got back into it because, I mean, it's something that really has fueled my fire for the last year or so, although it's tough because, you know, that you sort of hang on to those things a little bit. But yeah, it's definitely motivated me every day because I don't want to feel that way again. You know, I feel sort of like I've missed out and failed really again. So yeah, that's something that's motivated me, and it's been good. The Commonwealth Games actually this time around is one of those things where we've had a 16-month window to put a time on the board. Usually we've got, you know, the once-off trials to do a time. So you know, I've done some pretty good times in that 53 in the last 16 months. So I've been able to put a couple forward, I suppose, and yeah, like that's sort of landed me where I am now. And it was cool to be able to you know, be with the team again. We had a Grand Prix a week or two ago down on the Gold Coast, and to be back in that team environment, you know, pretty cool to be back in there.
I've spoken to guys like Dion Kenzie and Stuart McSwain, who you'd know, a great Tasmanian's doing fantastic stuff overseas as well. And one of the things they tell me is that they're very aware of their competition. So you've been studying closely who you'll be up against at Birmingham, and do you rate yourself as a medal chance?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think over this last year or two, I think I'm top two or three in the Commonwealth. So, yeah, I definitely know that there's, you know, four or five guys that are all within 0.1 or 0.2 of a second of, you know, first through to fourth or fifth. So one of my best mates, Braden, I train alongside him, Braden Jason, and he's, you know, up there as well. And it's good to have someone that I train with to compete against as well. We push each other. There's Nick, a guy from Canada, and you know, there's a couple other guys from the UK as well who are going to be very competitive. So it's especially in a 50 where every single little thing counts. It's going to take a pretty good race on the day. But I mean, that's where the training comes into thing. I'm a big believer that the way you race is a reflection of the way that you train, and I mean, that's why we swim.
Yeah.
You know, we're exercising 20 or 30 hours a week, so that's why we did hard yards, that's for sure.
Yeah, like you say, it's very short. Do you actually take a breath in the race at all, or do you just keep going until you get to the wall?
I've trialled a few different things. I take two. I think when I go one, I make that one breath a big deal, so I try and have two, and that helps me to relax down the lap as well.
All right, well, good luck in Birmingham. We're proud of you, whatever you do, Jake. It sounds like if you make the final, anything's possible. So thanks for your time this morning. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Martin. Have a good one.